is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy post-Thanksgiving. One Federal Reserve meeting remaining in the year, and then it's an election year. And the guideline is a Federal Reserve chairman and the Board of Governors would not raise interest rates in an election year unless I welcome Elizabeth Peake. She's a columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. We begin with Cyber Monday. U.S. online spending hit record on Cyber Monday, says the Financial Times headline. What does this mean? $12.4 billion on Cyber Monday compared to the estimates of $12 billion. The consumer tapped out is still spending. My contribution late in the day when I realized it was Cyber Monday was, how easy is this? Go on Amazon and find a pair of gardening gloves. Liz, a very good evening to you. Cyber Monday exceeded expectations. I believe the consumer is part of the Federal Reserve's concerns. However, we have a Federal Reserve governor in these last hours on Tuesday saying that he sees slowing momentum in the economy, which is part of the mandate that the Federal Reserve has to moderate the inflation prices over the last 3 years. So I'm spending money. That should be the opposite of slowing momentum. That should be the consumer once again weighing in. Everybody's spending money, and yet the Federal Reserve thinks that the slowing is going on. Can these things exist in the same universe? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Well, it's a very good question, and it really will end up depending on whether this spurt in spending on Black Friday and Cyber Monday continues through the holiday season. There's some thinking that the discounts available on Black Friday and over the weekend, and the discounts being extended through Cyber Monday and even now, have brought forward a lot of Christmas shopping, that people basically rush to get bargains, just like in the old days. Remember when they had those big doorbuster sales or whatever they were called? People, instead of gathering in parking lots, now they gather online and they spend a lot of money. I mean, I think, you know, 10% increases in spending year over year were pretty stunning. Again, the question is, does that continue? Or is it the case that consumers are a little more stretched financially, which all the data seems to indicate, and that they were trying to make better use of their money by taking advantage of the markdowns that were on? I mean, I got to say, when I saw last week the markdowns coming from big stores, the big department stores like Saks and Neiman Marcus, you know, 40, 50% markdowns, I thought, whoa, we have a problem here. These companies are really anticipating a poor Christmas. They have too much inventory and they're moving fast to begin to get rid of it. Inventories, we know overall, did go up in the last quarter. And so that may have fed into some of this very, I thought, kind of drastic markdowns. Bottom line, the consumer is still spending. There is a sub-story that the use of buy now, pay later mechanisms went up very substantially over the weekend. So maybe consumers are, in effect, borrowing to buy all this stuff. The question is, does it continue? And it's interesting to me, retail CEOs, people, when they were announcing third quarter earnings, a lot of those CEOs, whether it was Walmart or Macy's or others, were saying, you know, we're not very optimistic about the holiday shopping season. So they were seeing stuff that caused them to be a little cautious. Were they wrong? I don't know. But then when the Fed and pretty much everybody else comes out and says, you know, there is a slowdown taking place, I think we have to look at these big shopping numbers and, again, take it with a grain of salt that that's going to continue. It doesn't really add up, because we know that, I mean, there have been very definitive studies now done showing that all the excess savings from from COVID are gone. We know that credit card debt is rising rapidly. We know there are delinquencies rising on certain kinds of loans. So it isn't like the consumer's in terrific shape. It's just very hard to cut back, particularly going into the holiday season. And again, people are borrowing to keep on spending. And I don't think that ends well. I don't think it ends with a crash necessarily or a tough recession, but I think it certainly ends with growth coming down pretty rapidly as we go into the new year.
Another twist. Home prices, Wall Street Journal, hit a new record in September due to a shortage of homes for sale, even as high interest rates made home purchases less affordable. There are a lot of moving parts here, but basically, as I understand it, there's so little available that people are raising their prices, even though the mortgages are, I think they're approaching 8%. So somebody is spending money, Liz.
Yeah, they're approaching 8%. And the average house mortgage payment now is almost double what it was a year ago. I mean, that is a huge change in the housing market. But what's really, you know, supply is limited partly because interest rates are at 8%, because anyone who bought their house 10 years ago and has a much lower mortgage, or 5 years ago as a 3% mortgage or whatever, they don't want to give that up. They don't want to move. So a lot of houses, a lot of families that might be trading up, kind of going for a bigger house or whatever, or the other side of the coin, people, older people deciding to downscale, you know, they don't want to lose that 3% mortgage. And if they do the numbers, you can, you know, go out there and look for a smaller house. But if your interest payments, if you have a mortgage and your interest payments have more than doubled, you're not better off. So the housing market has really been in a very strange state for, I don't know, well over a year, because normally, obviously, when mortgage rates go up, prices go down. And that just hasn't happened this year. This time, I almost think it's because the change is so dramatic that people are trapped in their existing homes. And so it has really limited supply.
Let's go to the Federal Reserve and what it sees in these contradictory numbers. Contradictory because we're supposed to have emptied our pockets, and we haven't yet. In any event, there's one more meeting. It's in December. And the last time we spoke, the smart money on Wall Street was talking about cuts, not a hike. So I'm presuming there is no hike in the smart set for December. Are there hikes for 24? Would they be so daring to raise rates in an election year?
I don't think there's any chance they'll raise rates in December. We do get the next PCE reading. That's the gauge of inflation that the Fed prefers. That comes out, I think, Thursday. I can't see there being any big shock in that number. The numbers on inflation have pretty gradually declined, and I think that'll be what we see in the PCE number. They're not going to raise rates in December because I think they're looking forward to 24. They know that the economy is slowing. They know, except for Cyber Monday, and they know that the very, very sharp increases in interest rates they've already pushed through is doing what it's supposed to do. And a new CNBC poll that came out, I think, today shows a very marked change in the way corporate managers are looking at the labor market. That's really been, other than real estate, the other thing that's been very sort of weird about this cycle is that even as demand in some industries have tapered off, there have not been large layoffs. Unemployment has increased, but it's still very, very low. And the unemployment claims and all those things point to a continuing, pretty solid labor market, definitely weakening, but still very solid. Now, these CEOs are 60% of the CEOs saying it's much easier to find workers. That very important because presumably the reason that there haven't been layoffs is that management struggled to hire people over the last 2 or 3 years. And they were willing to keep workers on even if they didn't need them. That could change. If the perception becomes that the labor market is a little softer, you can hire people. That, I think, could result in some layoffs and accelerate the downturn in the economy. That's important for the Fed. They watch the labor market very closely. And again, another argument as to why they certainly won't raise rates in December and probably not in early 2024 either. Cuts, we'll see. I don't think there's any talk of that until really late spring, early summer.
The market is on a surge right now. And it's a combination of mood, time of year, all of that. But there's magic in the market. It comes in the form of the letter A and the letter I. Now, we've had magic before. I remember the cloud was magic. I remember the green was magic. AI seems to be powering everything, especially the Mag 7. Is that independent of the Federal Reserve? They don't care what the governor says, we're going to buy AI. Is that what's happening?
I think that's a fair statement. Yes. I mean, that's, you know, when you have an industry that's sort of exploding, coming out of nowhere, sort of creating a new industry, really, and fueling a lot of traditional companies into much higher growth trajectories, I think that is going to go on. I don't mean that those stocks, which have had such a huge run-up over the last 2 or 3 months, cannot come back. Of course they can. If you have a market sell-off, they will get whipsawed a bit because they are the place where a lot of people have gone. But the growth in the industry is still there. The multiples on those stocks, make no, you know, be aware, are very high. I mean, I think they're on average something like 29 times earnings. The market's more like 19. So there's a big premium for that growth. They're certainly vulnerable to a market sell-off, but you know, chances are the growth is going to come through and justify those multiples.
Elizabeth Peay, she's a columnist on for the Hill, a columnist on Fox News, much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to history, 1968, and a revelation in New Hampshire in a presidential primary that was totally unexpected. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.